All right, this is Pure Decking, show number 489 for Thursday, July the 28th, 1868. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and reminding you that when you're designing 3D prints, remember basic physics. So, anyway.
You realize that plastic can't fly?
No, I knew that. No, I realized that a switch placed under the fulcrum point of a lever would never actually depress correctly. Needs to be moved off-center from the fulcrum point, in an appreciable direction.
Yeah, like one side is on and the other is off.
Yeah.
Instead of both being pressed at the same time.
Well, pretty much it was... It was a keyboard switch, and it was always, it was either never pressed, or I'd make the block bigger, and it was always pressed, and I couldn't figure out what I was doing wrong until I took it apart and took a good look at it. And it's like, son of a bitch. So, I mean, it's an easy fix, right? You just go in and move the key mount on the model, but it's like, damn it. It's like, that's a basic one. It's a lever. It's kind of known how they work. Anybody who gets the call to come help their parents set up a new computer, or grandparent for that matter, well, that's how I spent my weekend, and I feel for you when you get that call. Ooh, boy. So, no, I want to see all of the TurboTaxes from years 2012 through the end of through this year. It's like, good God, why?
Why not?
It's like, wait, why
2012?
You...
Can't be audited for that anymore. Why the hell do you care about 2012?
He had every version of TurboTax from 2012 through last year on that machine.
Just in case he becomes president.
Okay, this even got worse than I thought. I thought he was asking for tax records from 2012.
No,
well,
he's got
versions
back
of TurboTax.
No, I'm talking about installations of TurboTax on that machine, yes.
But the modern one will give him all the records from all the previous filings.
He wanted to be able to... It won't, actually. It will open... TurboTax, if you install it, opens the current year's taxes and the previous year's. Now, it's pulling your file forward every time you do it and start a new one, so most of the records you need are going to be in the previous file. But, that's just kind of how nuts he is about some of this stuff. I convinced him he only needed the last couple of years to save my sanity. Between that and the wait, stop, everything, stop. How did you do that?
I clicked this button. Can I continue now?
There was a bit of shortcuts again.
When you're not thinking and you just quickly do something.
Yeah.
Control A, enter. It's fine. I didn't mind to help. I really didn't. But covered my gas to come back home, so hey, I'm not gonna knock that, but just oh boy. I'm actually on good terms with my parents. I know a lot of people aren't. I'm going good terms with my parents for the most part, but just whew. Moving on. I'm guessing nobody else has any stories they want to share on that one.
No. My father believed that the computer was the devil box until he realized that it would play Pink Floyd for him for free. And he's like, oh, but I've already got all their albums and devil box again.
And my parents said computers were a passing fad they'd never take up.
Well, depending on how you define passing fad, I don't know that either one of your parents were wrong, just based on my professional career.
wait a minute. If they cease being used for my line of employment. My jobs would be definitely secure, and I would start getting paid to travel.
Well, I kind of...
That's the depressing thing about your job there, Madman, is that with computerization, it's actually made it less glamorous.
Oh, no, it's made it fucking easy as hell.
Yeah, I know.
What, you know, you talked about, you know, computers being a passing fad. And, okay, obviously not. But the home PC, I think, might be on the way out. I don't like that idea. I'd rather see that change. But I know a lot of people who the only computer they have in their house is like a laptop that they got issued at the office. You know, they play games on an Xbox. They browse the web and do their email and Facebook on an iPad or a phone. You know, they don't have a computer. So I kind of wonder if it's going to start being kind of more of a niche thing.
As long as I can still build my own rigs to play my own games, that's all I'm happy about. Hmm. All I care.
Yeah, but have you noticed a lot of the computer games, I can't think of one that's been specifically for computer for a while. They're ports from consoles or also released on console.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Or mobile, yeah, for that matter.
Or mobile.
No, sorry, are you?
No, I was just trying to think. Yeah, you're pretty much right on that one. PC gaming will rise again. Don't worry.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of something major that's come out recently that wasn't a console port. I guess MMOs. No, that's not true. Because the biggest MMO right now is that Genshin game, and that's on everything.
What about, was it Elden Ring? That straight to PC, or was that a port as well?
I think that was on most of the consoles.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not an MMO. But yeah, consoles even got into MMOs. For a while, I would say that was the one genre that was still computer only. But now, consoles do them now too.
I would dispute that it was ever computer only because Phantasy Star Online was like Super Nintendo's and shit like... No, that's the Japanese game. The Phantasy Star game was Saturn? Sega Saturn? Or was that Dreamcast? I don't remember. There was an MMO that came out on the console. I think it was Dreamcast because it wanted you to use the keyboard for chat. You're the console historian. Help me out here.
The Dreamcast, man. I'm drawing a blank. Limited knowledge on the Dreamcaster. Wasn't one that I really
think
went
Fantasy
for.
Star was Dreamcast, but I think it came out on a couple of other platforms too. And that was a fairly early MMO. MUDs, multi-user dungeons, those were never on the console. Yeah, let's go back to BBS door games, you know. Anyways, so I guess we can do the first article here. This is from The Guardian. RU sent me this link, actually. I don't know if it was this link exactly, but you sent me this story earlier in the week. Chess robot grabs and breaks the finger of a 7-year-old opponent. The robot figured out how to cheat. Not quite as extreme as the Munchkin thumb threatening incident.
Although you will concede or I will break your thumb.
Well, that was because you were going to... That was actually in response to somebody trying to cheat. Yeah, that was the threat. I'm going to break your thumbs. No, you're not. Ow, ow, fuck, okay. Let's see. Yeah, played by humans, chess is a game of strategic thinking, calm concentration, and patient intellectual endeavor. Violence does not usually come into it. The same cannot be said of machines. I don't know, I've seen a couple of people flip a chessboard. Last week, according to Russian media outlets, a chess-playing robot, apparently unsettled by the quick response of a 7-year-old boy, unceremoniously grabbed and broke his finger during a match at the Moscow Open. Quote, the robot broke the child's finger, unquote, Sergei Lazarov, president of the Moscow Chess Federation, told the TASS news agency. After the incident, adding that the machine had played many previous exhibitions without upset. Quote, this is, of course, bad. Unquote.
I noticed they blame the kid, though.
Yeah, that's right.
That was a funny part.
A video of the July 19th incident published by the Baza Telegram channel shows the boy's finger being pinched by the robot arm for several seconds before a woman followed by three men rush in, free him, and usher him away. Sergei Smagin, vice president of the Russian Chess Federation, told Baza the robot appeared to pounce after it took one of the boy's pieces. Rather than waiting for the machine to complete its move, the boy opted for a quick repose, he said. Quote, there are certain safety rules, and the child apparently violated them. When he made his move, he did not realize first he had to wait, unquote, Smagin said. Quote, this is an extremely rare case. The first I can recall, unquote, he said. Yeah, it's like, oh, no, no, it's not the fact that the robot grabbed the kid's finger and broke it. It's, it's the kid's fault. Yeah, Lazarov had a different account saying the child had made a move, and after that, we need to give time for the robot to answer, but the boy hurried, and the robot grabbed him. Either way, he said the robot suppliers were, quote, going to have to think again. Baza named the boy as Christopher and said that he was one of the 30 best chess players in the Russian capital and in the under-9s category. Quote, people rushed to help and pulled the finger of the young, and pull out the finger of the young player, but the fracture could not be avoided, it said. Lazarov told TASS that Christopher, whose finger was put in a plaster cast, did not seem overly traumatized by the attack. Quote, the child played the very next day, finished the tournament, and volunteers helped to record the moves, he said. His parents, however, reportedly contacted the public prosecutor's office. Quote, we will communicate, figure it out, and try to help in any way we can, unquote, he said. Smagin told RAA Novosti the incident was a coincidence and the robot was absolutely safe. Don't worry, the robot only mauls children 20% of the time. It's perfectly within acceptable bounds. the machine, which can play multiple matches at a time, had reportedly already played 3 on the day it encountered Christopher, was unique, he said. It, quote, it has performed at many opens. Apparently children need to be warned. It happens, unquote. occasionally you maim a child. Shit happens.
there's a society who hasn't been pussified, right? Bet you there's no drag queen story hour in their fucking sessions.
A Russian grandmaster, Sergei Konjarkin, said the incident was no doubt due to, quote, some kind of software error or something, adding, this has never happened before. There are such accidents. I wish the boy good health. Christopher may have been lucky. While robots are becoming more and more sophisticated, with most modern models capable of not just interacting but actively cooperating with humans, most simply repeat the same basic actions, grab, move, put down, and neither know nor care if people are in the way. So it goes on. But
who would have thought a machine would not give two fucks about a meat puppet?
What I'm wondering, though, is do they have... How is the robot identifying what to grab, right? Is there like RFID tag on every chess piece? That way it knows which one is which? Is it trying to do optical recognition? I kind of want to know what happened. What, you know, at a software level, mechanically, what happened that the robot grabbed the kid's finger instead of a piece?
Oh, hell, it doesn't even have to be that complicated. Yeah. All the pieces start out in a set position. And it just memorizes where it moves its pieces because you don't really touch an opponent's piece. The robot was reaching for one of its pieces that should have still been there and grabbed the kid's hand.
Yeah, and maybe the kid's hand was like over the piece or something.
Yeah, because he said the kid was moving within the time frame the robot was still supposed to be moving.
Yeah, so I mean, ultimately, it is an accident. I'm just kind of wondering how the... Because you're right, it most likely is just remembering where it's put pieces, but it has to know where the opponent's pieces are. So that could be done any number of ways. I know that there were some... kind of internet enabled chess boards a couple of years back that I was interested in until I saw what they cost. That they like would hook to a mobile app so you could play people over the internet, and they had a magnet system in them that could like automatically move the pieces based on the movements it was given. But it was actually pretty dumb. You had to go into the app and tell it what move you just made on the board, or just not touch the pieces and let it move all the pieces. Go ahead, are you?
I was going to say, that sounds like it'd be awfully expensive and easy to break.
Yeah, it was like $600 and didn't look all that fun when I watched a couple of videos of it and lost interest and moved on with life. But
that price tag's real. Moving on.
Pretty much.
And from our previous conversation, Phantasy Star was a 4-player game.
Really? I thought that was an MMO.
It was the first console game that you could play over the internet with other players. But it was still a 4-player RPG.
Huh.
There you go.
Well, I've drank and slept since I read about it, so I never had a Dreamcast. So I never actually played it. I thought about getting one back in the day, but I think trying to dig one up nowadays would probably be pretty hard.
Yeah, probably getting mega CD stuff, dude.
Yeah. Oh, God. Well, I mean, I've got a bunch of ISO. Well, I think they've been in queue now that I think about it, but that's not the same. Oh, you mean the hardware for a mega CD? Ooh.
Oh, just even discs. Disc rust is a thing. They're at that age.
Oh, shit, yeah. Oh.
It was also the first RPG that was big, according to this, in Asia.
Huh.
Although, Final Fantasies were RPGs.
Oh, yeah.
I guess they might be meaning online. Even though it's... I usually think of like MMOs when I think of online RPGs that are big, like Evercrack.
I would have thought, again, MUDs would have been big. I mean, back in the dial-up days, I got in trouble for playing Gemstones 3 all the damn time, mainly because I was tying up the phone line on dial-up to AOL. But, I had set up my computer to connect to AOL and run scripts at night when I was asleep. And, I got in trouble because apparently, they were trying to call my dad at like 2 in the morning and I had the phone line tied up because I thought nobody's going to use the phone at 2 in the morning. Also, I had it downloading and doing other shit, right? But, yeah. It's like, oh, no, I had the computer set up to do stuff. Oh, I got in trouble. And Dad got a company-provided cell phone after that for some reason.
Nice.
Oh, that solves the problem. You can go back to having your computer do updates and shit at 2 in the morning.
You might think that, but you don't understand my dad's mindset. So. It's like, I caused a problem, therefore I must be punished. It doesn't matter that it was solved easily.
But we now effectively have 2 phone lines. I think my computer should use the other one more often. It likes talking to people. It's a very social machine.
And how else is it going to be downloading episodes of Farscape and other shows? Was it Farscape? Fuck, I don't even remember what all I was doing. I had all kinds of videos and shit coming in. Might have been like anime and stuff. I don't know. Well, speaking of, gaming all night, this article is from the BBC. Game time has no link with levels of well-being, study finds. A study of 39,000 video gamers has found little to no evidence time spent playing affects their well-being. The average player would have to play for 10 hours more than usual per day to notice any difference, if found, and the reasons for playing were far more likely to have an impact. Well-being was measured by asking about life satisfaction and levels of emotions such as happiness, sadness, anger, and frustration. Well, obviously they weren't playing Dark Souls if the frustration wasn't changing.
They weren't playing Hell Let Loose.
The results contradict a 2020 study conducted by the same department at Oxford Internet Institute, but with a much smaller group of players. The 2020 study had suggested those who played for longer were happier. Quote, common sense says if you have more free time to play video games, you're probably a happier person, unquote, said Professor Andrew, oh God, that's a name, Przybylowski? I mean, that's got too many Y's in it for a name. I'm sorry. who worked on both studies. Quote, but contrary to what we might think about games being good or bad for us, we found, at least in this lady study, pretty conclusive evidence that how much you play doesn't really have any bearing whatsoever on changes in well-being. If players were playing because they wanted to rather than because they felt compelled to, they had to, or they tended to feel better. Well, yeah, it's relaxing. this time, technology companies, including Sony, Microsoft, and Nintendo, provided 6 weeks data with players' consent from Animal Crossing New Horizons, Apex Legends, EVE Online. Well, there's your problem. You included EVE Online. Forza Horizon 4, Gran Turismo Sport, and The Crew 2. During that time, only one player dropped out of the study published in the Royal Society Open Science Journal. In China, children are allowed to play only for 1 hour a day on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays, but many gamers around the world say that their playing helps their mental health. Mike Daly, who created Lemmings and Grand Theft Auto, said that the benefits were varied. Quote, I'm not sure it's something that's measurable with a single well-being state, he said. As everything in life, it's balance. Spending 24 hours a day playing, that's not good, but spend 24 hours a day eating or working out, and that's also not good. Good Lord, could you imagine somebody who ate 24 hours a day?
Yeah, I
can. Oh, sir, you are beyond fat ass.
I've seen my 600-pound life. Yeah, no, I don't have to imagine. Oops, there's a whole TV show devoted to it.
Yeah, not watching that. not
even those guys, they have to stop eventually.
Yeah, it's called
they
death.
Just don't. They don't. They just hoover food all day.
It's like, can you move? No. How do you go to the bathroom? It's right where I am.
Yeah.
Gross. But, I just, yeah, of course, you know, playing video games is neither good nor bad for you, like anything else, right? If it's relaxing to you and you enjoy it, have fun. If you're playing to excess, well, maybe reevaluate, you know?
Are you go out and see the big blue room and actually socially interact with people.
Are you calling into work sick continuously to play World of Warcraft? Well,
they needed actually, a healer.
Actually, I know someone who just got fired because of World of Warcraft.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I'd be lying if I said I never called in sick to play MMO, but it was not World of Warcraft. But I actually was kind of feeling kind of meh. I mean, probably because I'd been up all night playing the damn game. So it wasn't a lie so much as an exaggeration.
For 2 weeks. At least you didn't forget to go to work for 2 weeks.
No, I went to work the next day. I just called in sick once. Yeah.
I didn't call in sick to play. I called in sick to sleep because I'd been playing.
Well, like you said, they needed a healer. So. But, yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, it's kind of an obvious thing. I'm sure you still have, I can't even think of his name now, the lawyer who sued because Grand Theft Auto existed. And you know, the concern brigade that comes out every time a gory game comes out. You know, can you imagine if they ever release the next Grand Theft Auto, the shit fit that they'll throw in the media?
Did you see that yesterday they announced they're going to tame Grand Theft Auto down? Make it more politically correct. More woke.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Well...
So Saints Row is going to pick up players, I'm hearing.
Well, yeah, that's what I hear.
apparently they rebooted Saints Row, and the reboot of it's not very good either.
Eh, modern gaming, right?
Well, just means...
Dude, the industry's about to go through a huge downturn, and I don't blame it.
Last week I didn't pick to cover them, but there were several articles about how they're predicting that this is going to be the first down year for video games since like the 80s. So
yeah, and you know, all we can hope is the likes of Blizzard, it's death nails for them. Yeah, you know, they can fuck right off.
Blizzard hasn't been Blizzard for 10 years.
I know that. They're Activision or whatever the fuck they are now.
Yeah,
Activision
owns them. They bought all the IP. Yeah, but the company that made Diablo 2 and StarCraft and even Warcraft 3 and the first version of World of Warcraft. Actually, it was right after they released World of Warcraft and Activision bought them. They basically fired most of their developers and almost all of their artists and story guides and started rebuilding the company. And of course, now they've just lost all their talent again because of all the lawsuits and shit. But no,
well, dinosaurs have got to die, man. They've got to die. I'm sick of them.
That company hasn't been Blizzard for years. But
let's face it, the comic book industry is circling the fucking drain. No matter how much they say it's not.
Well, didn't they just cancel a bunch of MCU movies because the last couple of ones weren't doing very well?
I'm not really up on my Marvel stuff or anything like that. But, some of the podcasts I listen to talk about comics every now and then and how trash they are. And they're all excited for some dude on YouTube who wanted like $150,000 to start his IP. Ended up with like $1.5 million.
Well, that's the gag of it is that, I mean, that's just capitalism in action, right? They're putting out bad product. Now, we can argue that the bad product is because they're buying into political ideals that they feel the need to ram down the throat of everything. Well, bully for you. Nobody's buying your shit. You'll see new stuff come out to replace it, or at least you should, unless you have interference preventing that, which is what we're largely seeing at this point, largely through copyright law, strangely enough. But, so I think you're right. I think we'll see a lot of these dinosaurs studios. We'll see the name stick around. I mean, somebody's, another company will come out and buy the names. It'll probably be Microsoft the way things are going right now.
But Microsoft keep making shit games. It's just going to go down the drain too.
Yeah.
Look what happened to Minecraft. Microsoft took it over and I don't hear much about it anymore.
Last week there was an article about it where apparently they're putting some limitations in place so that it can never use NFTs and shit like that. But, that's the last Minecraft news I saw in for a long time.
Yeah. So,
I mean, I guess unless you're looking to start a new YouTube channel, I haven't even had a reason to boot that game up in a long time.
I quit Minecraft years ago. I'm happier for it. Now I just got to kick Factorio.
Well, speaking of that, this article from you'll enjoy this article from WebMD. Playing video games appears to boost brain activity and decision-making skills. In a study that coupled brain imaging with decision-making tasks, college students who play video games regularly made faster and more accurate decisions than peers who rarely played video games. Quote, video games are played by the overwhelming majority of our youth more than 3 hours every week, but the beneficial effects on decision-making abilities and the brain are not exactly known. Unquote, lead investigator Mukesh Damala. I'm not sure how to say that name, PhD of the Georgia State University Neuroscience Institute, said in a news release. The new study begins to shed light on how video game playing can change the brain to improve task performance, said Damala and the GSU investigator Timothy Jordan, PhD. The researchers recruited 47 college students, 28 of whom reported playing action video games for at least 5 hours a week over the past 2 years, and 19 non-gamers who averaged less than 1 hour per week. During brain imaging, they were given computerized decision-making tasks. They were asked to press a button on their left or right hand to indicate the direction dots were moving, or to resist pressing either button if there wasn't any movement. Video gamers were faster and more accurate with their responses than non-gamers. The gamers also had stronger activity in some parts of the brain. This has not been shown before, Dahamala said, and Jordan say. Previous brain imaging studies have suggested there might be benefits from video games on attention, visual perception, and memory, but a clear behavior brain relation and the effects in decision-making process were lacking. Jordan wasn't surprised by the results of the study. As a child, he had a weak vision in one eye. As part of a research study, when he was about 5 years old, he covered his good eye and played video games to strengthen the vision in the weak one. Jordan credits video game training with helping to build a strong capacity for his brain to process what he saw, allowing him to eventually play lacrosse and paintball. Stephen Farone, PhD with the State University of New York Upstate Medical University in Syracuse, was also not surprised by the findings. Playing video games can alter the brain in a manner that improves some cognitive skills, he said after having seen the results. The caveat, he says, is that no well-designed clinical trial has shown that these changes in the brain lead to improvements in real-world skills, like school performance. It's also unclear how long one must train with video games to gain new decision-making skills. As with all other things, it must be done in moderation. Playing too much can lead to addiction, just like anything that affects our brains, especially young people's developing brains, they say. So, but the thing is, the test they designed, press this button or that button based on what you see the light doing, is basically a cheap video game.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They took people who were play video games and set them in front of a very basic video game and like, wow, look, they're better at it than people who don't play video games.
Yeah, when it comes to decision making, I think they would need to take them out of a press button and actually have them make real world decisions to decide whether or not video games made them more decisive.
Well, I'm pretty inclined to believe that they do. Otherwise, the military wouldn't have been using Doom and America's Army and whatever version of Call of Duty they're using now for training sessions.
You talk about memory retention, short and long-term memory. Play an extra-large map of Civilization against all the bots. There you go. You're managing everything. In finances, warfare, diplomatic negotiations, food cropping, you're doing all those calculations per move.
Well,
and then thinking ahead of where you're going to be and how you're going to benefit your society by moving your piece where next. Is war worth it this time? Tens of thousands of calculations. Or even try playing SimCity and keep a balanced budget.
There were articles a couple of years ago. Well, more than a couple of years ago now. But they were actively telling people to put guild leadership experience from MMOs on resumes as leadership. Because you're organizing events, you're managing people, you're managing a budget, even though it's gold and dragon gems and DKP points, but it's still a budget. It's like a lot of these same concepts apply in business. You're just using different terms and... I mean, you're even still sitting in front of a computer all day. It's just instead of World of Warcraft, it's Excel. So, and actually, there were World of Warcraft add-ons that basically turned the auction house into Excel.
Into Excel.
So, you know, I absolutely believe that, I mean, it's practice at a task, right? It's just a question, is it a useful task, and is it something that applies to what you do? So, I mean, hell, they were talking about using VR goggles for training people in, like, you know, medical fields and stuff. So, yeah, I mean, this idea that, you know, video games make you better at decision making, yeah, because you're practicing making decisions.
Yeah, so. I'd say it makes you a better risk taker as well, because risk versus reward.
Well, yeah, especially because it gives you the ability to make mistakes and see the outcome of those mistakes in a fairly safe environment. I mean, sure, somebody might freak out and start punching the screen or the keyboard because they just, you know, lost days worth of work in a game, but it's not like they actually just jumped off a cliff.
No, failure in certain games is extreme punishment. I mean, you play Civ again. 3, maybe 4 days straight, 6 hours a day, only to lose. Yeah, that's a shitty loss. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
You know, because you decide to go for total victory instead of a diplomatic. You know, you get all these different choices and you got to choose.
Well, I mean, think back to when we used to play Payday all the time. How often do we get all to the, you know, got all the things done? We've been playing the map for, you know, an hour. You're at the very end and all of us go down. And it's
exactly,
just like,
man.
Fuck!
Fuck. You know?
Oh, I should have doing the Tabula Rasa achievements.
Oh, dude. That
naked, the worst fucking gun in the world.
Oh, that was a couple of months and a bit to conquer that bit, man.
Yeah, and every time you tried it and failed, how much more frustrated did you get?
Dude, yeah.
But again, okay, you've lost time and a little bit of frustration. It's not like anybody actually, you know, died.
No, but it was the teamwork, the planning, you know, the teamwork alone that it took to pull that map off. Communicating four people under fire constantly, having to match skills. I mean, yeah, that was an event and a half. I mean, that's sort of what I'm getting a lot from Hell Let Loose now, is listening to guys who've been playing the game for a while actually know what they're doing and can organize a 50-man push.
I mean, that's that. I mean, from what you've told me about that game, and I have the game, I just haven't. You know, you kind of got me almost scared to play it now. But
dude, I'm 200 hours in and I'm a fucking noob. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you mean.
Check my screenshots from a couple of days ago. I was with the commander at the back of a 50-man push just to keep him alive, because he's standing on top of a fucking Panzer tank going through a field, getting shot at, ordering artillery strikes. That was the coolest night ever. And I didn't shoot a fucking round. I just walked behind a Panzer for half an hour listening to the commander call in fucking airstrikes. It was great.
So, yeah, I just, yeah. It's, I mean, yeah, I can just imagine the guy who could organize the 50-man push while calling in airstrikes and all that stuff. I mean, fuck, the army probably wants to talk to that guy.
Yeah, I mean, there are some really good guys, you know, and the community seems reasonably cool, you know.
So,
anyway, we need to move along.
All right, moving it along. Next one up is from Business Insider. Instagram and Facebook feeds are about to get shitty.
Wait a minute.
Wait, that's
about?
Okay, worse. They're about to get worse. The actual headline is feeds are about to be swarmed by accounts users don't follow. In other words, they are trying to now start control. These companies want to start inserting shit into the timelines to control what you see.
Well, time to delete those accounts.
Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg, in a call with investors on Wednesday, said that the content users see in their Instagram feeds from accounts they do not already follow will double by the end of next year. Quote, social content from people you know is going to remain an important part of the experience, some of our most differentiated content, but increasingly we'll also be able to supplement that with other interesting content from across our networks, unquote, said Meta CEO Zuckerberg in a second quarter earnings call, according to a transcript of the meeting. Zuckerberg said about 15% of the content sent to a Facebook feed and a little more than that on Instagram feeds came from Meta's recommendation algorithm. By the end of the year, Zuckerberg said the company expected these numbers to more than double. A spokesperson for Meta did not immediately return Insider's request for comment on Thursday. Instagram is in the midst of an identity crisis as the platform works to keep up with the other growing social media platforms and apps, namely TikTok. The company in late 2020 launched Reels, its short vertical video platform that directly mimics TikTok. As Instagram and Facebook shift to more AI-driven content, many expect they'll more closely resemble TikTok, that platform most promised largely for its For You page mechanism, which delivers users content from accounts they aren't necessarily following and attempts to serve videos the algorithm predicts they'll engage with and watch. Quote, Reels engagement is also growing quickly, unquote, Zuckerberg said on Wednesday, according to the transcript, blah, blah, blah. So, to pair with this, there's also several articles about how Facebook is laying off people or slowing hiring and losing money. I have a feeling what that really is people pay us and we'll promote your shit and put it in front of people's feeds.
Yeah. Fuck it. Just don't have it anymore if it becomes too annoying.
That's... Yeah. I think... Well, I mean, they're looking at, you know, they're looking at things, you know, other platforms and being like, man, I wish we could control the messaging so that we could sell it. I'm
YouTube
sure that's what
it is. YouTube is just a fucking nightmare without ad block these days.
Oh, absolutely. But I'm sure that's what it is. It's we want to sell access to people's timelines. And so our AI recommendation algorithm, which heavily weights whatever company gives us the most money, yeah, so instead of 15% of your feed, it's going to be like 50% of your feed. Or it's going to be like YouTube, where your subscriptions and things that you actually want to see are buried three menus deep.
Oh, just because you have notifications on doesn't mean you're going to be notified. Initially, I was going to say I'm kind of... that this could be a good thing if it's going to get people out of boxes, because I'll admit... at least with the algorithms that they have now, there's a lot of shit that I probably should see that I don't see because it's not going to hold, it generally won't hold my interest. But I should get my head out and see a different point of view on some of the things that I watch. And if it was going to be something like that, that could be cool, especially when it comes to news feeds. But, if it's just whoever paid us the most money, then it's going to be crap.
It's Facebook. What do you think they're going to do?
I think they're going to look at this and be like, you know what? We need to do something that's going to help our community come together, and thus we will grow more. So these guys that watch nothing but Fox News on their news feed, they need to really understand where the other side's coming from. So... here's some CNN. And all these guys that do nothing but listen to CNN, they need to understand where the other side's coming from. So maybe they should watch a little bit of Tucker. Here you go.
They might do half of that.
On the upside, Madman, Chris Cuomo's back. Got his another channel.
I knew that was going to happen eventually.
But if it's just
here's more money, I don't see that as being useful, at least to the audience.
So Chris Cuomo's back on TV. When you get fired for an ethics violation, how do you get hired again?
He's on the internet. Some small, less than 50,000 viewers.
Oh.
It's news something, they call it.
No, somebody's banking on a name.
Yeah, they're just buying the Chris Cuomo. I think he's got like 14,000 subscribers so far. I mean, most of those people are just hate watching.
You know? That's probably true.
The guy's a fucking douchebag, though, man. He can't help himself.
All right. Next one up is from restoftheworld.org. And this is something. Getting bank loan as a working class Mexican is virtually impossible. So when Maria needed money, she downloaded Sol Peso, one of the growing numbers of instant lending apps. To grant her loan, the app asked not only for her personal and financial data, but it also requested access to her phone's data, including her contact list. Even though Sol Peso transferred less money than promised, Maria, who has to be identified by her first name only to protect her identity for fear of being further targeted by her scammers, said that the app demanded the original amount plus interest to be repaid in a few days. When she couldn't pay, the lender called her and messaged her with threats. She downloaded a second lending app to pay off the first debt, and then even more, including Rapid Credo, Super Piso, Loan La La, Money Flash, and iFestivo in the following few weeks. So, basically, these guys are payday lenders, but in app form. Many of these lending apps joined Sol Peso in the harassment. Sometimes she received more than 50 calls and messages a day containing threats that ranged from saying the lenders would distribute photoshopped photos of Maria as a thief to threatening to rape and kill her family if she didn't repay. Quote, "It's terrifying and depressing," unquote, Maria said. quote, they send you extremely aggressive messages that fill you with fear, unquote. According to the Mexican government's official financial fraud report platform, Maria is one of hundreds of users to be doxxed by fraudulent loan apps in Mexico. Quote, it never crosses your mind that lending apps will use all that information to psychologically attack you, unquote, Maria said. Rest of the World identified 94 loan apps listed as possibly related to doxing activities across various Mexican cyber police departments, 35 of which are available on Google Play and the App Store on Android devices, which account for 80.87% of mobile internet traffic in Mexico. According to victims, government officials, digital rights activists, and platforms, gaps in Mexican law allow these lenders to continue to push scam apps on app stores and leave victims with no clear avenue to restitution or justice. Consumer education and criminal investigations that come after a crime have occurred are the only ways to currently combat this new type of digital financial fraud. But none of these efforts have stopped the apps from appearing in app stores, according to digital security experts who spoke to the Rest of the World. Quote, this type of fraud must be regulated more adequately since the damage doesn't only affect users but the people around them as well, unquote, said Paul Aguilar, a security expert at SocialTIC, a social rights organization that analyzes Play Store apps for security or privacy issues. Mexico's dereliction of responsibility to loan app victims is particularly glaring given the international precedent in resolving this issue. In early 2021 and 2022, Google removed scam instant credit apps and implemented stricter policies on its app store after the Reserve Bank of India flagged 600 of such apps to the company. Meanwhile, Jesus Chavez Ugal, director of analysis and statistics of financial services and products from Mexico's National Commission for the Protection and Defense of Users of Financial Services. And the acronym basically says confused, told the Rest of the World that the agency can intervene only in situations involving registered financial institutions. This means that unregistered apps are out of the regulator's reach. It's a gag, right? But basically, I mean, these guys are calling up people who've given them information for a loan and saying, if you don't pay us back like 150%, we're going to put your face on porn and send it to your family.
Not just small, saying, small price two paragraphs down, money. Did.
Yeah, did.
I do love it. The regulators will only regulate the companies that have told them, come regulate us. They're not going to go after anyone else. Then why the fuck do you have police powers?
Why the fuck would any institution regulate or register?
I don't give you my name and address. You're not gonna come after me. Fuck you. Hey, guess who's not getting my name and address?
Yeah, the legal gap left for lending apps leads to uncertainty as to who is in charge of protecting people's rights. Fiorentina Garcia, founder of TechCheck, a consumer digital protection watchdog, told the Rest of the World, quote, I think that it's clearly confused responsibility. I know that that doesn't actually spell confused, but it really looks like it, so we're going with it. The agency isn't assuming it and is excusing itself, unquote, she said. Maria told the Rest of the World that as lenders escalated their threats, Festivo sent her 13-year-old daughter, her cousin, her nieces, and 17 more of her contacts a photoshopped picture of a naked woman with Maria's face, claiming she'd become a prostitute to pay for her debts. Maria's cousin advised her, in the absence of other legal channels for protection, to call 911. There's a 911 call. They're sending photoshopped pictures of me naked to people. Really? Do you have any of these pictures? Can we see them?
Oh, wait a minute. Before that, do you look good in these pictures?
I know we shouldn't be making fun of it, but it's just like... I mean, part of the problem is that, you know, a lot of these app stores and mobile providers, they present themselves as being safe. Like, oh, everything in here is legit and upfront. You're getting it from the official Play Store. You're getting it from Apple. You're getting it, you know. So, especially if you've got somebody who's not, you know, terribly familiar with internet scams, why wouldn't they think that it's legit. You know, they got it from a legit source. Now, well, granted, the Play Store, if anybody who spent any time in there would know, there's a lot of stuff in there that's not legit. But
I'm kind of thinking, if a bank's not giving you money, and then someone else walks up and says, hey, dude, I will give you money, you should really be questioning that person. Because banks make money by giving out money. So if they're not giving you money, you're a risky investment. So whoever's willing to take on that risk is apparently willing to do more to get their money out of you than a bank can legally do.
Well, I mean, like I said, this is basically payday lending. It's just through an app instead of, you know, a cheap sign in a strip mall.
I'm not sure. I mean, payday lenders don't send porn to your relatives claiming you're a prostitute. This is closer to loan sharking.
Okay, fair point.
Don't get me wrong. I'm against payday lenders too, but they at least in this country, they do have some regulations.
I'm just sitting here for all these pay it forward apps are going to collapse.
Oh, they'll ask for donations. Oh, no, we need... Or that, or they'll just start taking their cut of the paying it forward.
Well, you know, you can get that drink for free today, but it comes out of your pay in 2 weeks. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Those ones...
I've not really looked into any of those because they read like a scam.
they are a scam, dude. They're just payday loan, but with 10 times the amount of interest... But, yeah, I don't understand how these services and products are legal.
I think in a lot of cases, they're probably not. Like Mad Ben said, it's probably closer to loan sharking. It's not legal, not really. And, you know, I mean, okay, sending around Photoshop porn of somebody versus breaking their legs, I guess in the long run is probably better. But, I mean, you're still kind of flirting in that same area, right?
Yeah.
I'm wondering how many of these are actually getting off there or happening in countries that have functioning police departments. Because if you notice, this isn't happening, this story isn't set in Britain. It's not set in Canada.
Nope, it's Mexico.
It's Mexico, and Mexico is it's pretty much a failed state. It's run by drug dealers.
It's a narco state.
It's a narco state. It's the people there, if they stay out of drug dealers' ways, probably can live an okay life. But their government doesn't look out for them. Their government looks out for the government and whoever's paying them, whatever cartel's paying them the most at the time.
So, I mean, yeah, I think that's probably about it, man. So, because like you said, they're only regulating the banks that are registered with them. It's like, why the fuck would you register with them then?
Yeah.
So, and the last article I have is a fact check from New USA Today. Scientists at CERN are not opening a portal to hell.
Damn it! I wanted to play Doom, the real game. I have 2 crates of ammo. I'm just waiting on the fucking chainsaw and I'm good to go.
Go ahead, are you?
Oh, this has been a rumor for quite a while. I think it's quite a fun one. I enjoy it. And please don't shit all over it.
The claim, scientists at CERN are communicating with demonic entities and opening a portal to hell. In April, scientists at the European Organization for Nuclear Research, or CERN, restarted their particle accelerator, the world's largest and most powerful accelerator, after a 3-year hiatus. The accelerator, the Large Hadron Collider, has undergone repairs and upgrades, and scientists plan to use it to crash protons together to learn more about the origins of the universe. Nevertheless, social media users are suggesting that the machine has a different purpose. A Facebook post shared on July 5th showed a TikTok video of a woman who claimed that CERN scientists are using the machine to open a doorway for demons. Quote, If y'all don't know about CERN, it's a demonic, evil machine that opens up portals to other dimensions, hell, and other spiritual worlds, but not heaven or the bosom of Abraham. And it brings in demons, wicked spirits, and high evil principalities, reads the caption of the post. Similar posts have amassed hundreds of interactions on Facebook and Twitter, but the claim is baseless. There is no evidence that scientists at CERN are engaging in anything other than scientific-related activities. Pretty sure okay. That's what the guys who built the nuclear bomb said too, guys. Just saying.
I'm going to say, saying that they're only...
communicating with hell could be a scientific activity.
This isn't a straight denial. This is a non-denial denial.
Yeah, they're not trying that now, but in the future...
They're not even saying they're not trying that now. They're saying we're only using this for scientific research. Well, if you could open up a portal to hell with a particle accelerator, that's science.
That's
the experiment and then see what are the atmospheric differences between Earth and hell.
That's the kind of science that where you use lemons to burn your house down.
I mean, is there oil in hell?
What we don't know until we start checking. We got to send an exploratory expedition to see what exploitable resources there are in hell.
I mean, maybe there's cobalt and other rare earth minerals.
Can you imagine the tax revenue from hell?
Oh, yeah, man. We just put a sin tax on everything. It starts generating, pays for itself.
Physics experts told USA Today that the use of the Large Hadron Collider to collide particles at very high energies to study matter. USA Today reached out to social media users to share the claim for comment. The collider, they say here, this is USA Today saying this, so I'm not sure what evidence or expertise they have to say this. There is no truth to the claim that scientists at CERN are communicating with demonic entities or using the collider to open up a portal to hell. Dijon Stavok, a physics professor at the University of Buffalo, so he's not there, he's at the University of Buffalo, told USA Today in an email. So they found a random professor to say, no, they're not using CERN to communicate with hell. I imagine that was a fairly easy task.
Well, maybe hell's not communicating with us right now. Maybe that's the issue.
Hell's looking at Joe Biden's leadership going, oh, no.
We want to keep the fires burning. This fucking idiot's going to put them out. And he doesn't even know how.
The devil's sitting there going, like, I don't even drink Everclear. I'm not dealing with this asshole. Quote, to create a black hole or a wormhole, even a microscopic one, with our current technology in the context of the standard theories of gravity, we need an accelerator as big as the whole universe, Storfiket said. So there is no chance whatsoever to create a portal at the Large Hadron Collider. You know, you went from...
There's no chance until it happens, you know what I mean?
Well, I'm just like, you need an accelerator as big as the whole universe.
Yeah,
well, the universe is an accelerator. Statement. You know, shit happens exactly. In the universe. You went from
you
making
don't know
a
it's
good...
gonna.
Go ahead.
You don't know what's gonna happen until it happens. That's why they're flinging particles at each other a quadrillion miles an hour just to see what happens.
I mean, you went from making a very definitive statement to, you know, ridiculousness of the whole accelerator as big as the whole universe. What, dude? Come on. It's like you went from sounding good to sounding like a kid. It's like a million, billion, jillion. The collider uses strong magnetic fields to accelerate charged particles or protons at very high energies in a circular tunnel, Storvik said. When two beams of these particles collide, detectors, which are located around the beams, record the outcome of these collisions. Quote, since these are previously unexplored energies in a controlled environment, we might expect the production of some new elementary particles that we did not know they existed, Storvik said. However, these are microscopic particles, so there's no such chance a portal would open. Again, you're assuming the properties of an unknown particle.
Yeah.
Okay.
To
for
say
the record,
it's not
going to
happen. You can't say that definitively.
For the record, I don't think at CERN they're trying to recreate Doom. I really don't. But
I do.
The way this article is written, it's not a good denial. And that's why I wanted to talk about it, because it's funny. Of course, they rate it as false. The scientists at CERN are not communicating with demons. But the thing is, like I said, they didn't talk to anybody at CERN. They talked to somebody at the University of Buffalo. For all we know, they're out there doing seances on top of CERN to make the machine work better. Why does it make it work better? We don't know, but it does, so we're doing it. It's like, guys, I get it. You know, the idea that, you know, we're the UAC here with this thing is probably slim. But it could be Aperture Science or Black Mesa. Just saying.
We do what we must because we can.
Got one thing for you tonight in Digital Dojo. And at first you might think that this is probably not something all that interesting to you. It's a webpage called sdeck.wiki. And it's specifically a collection of information about doing things with the Steam Deck. Mainly installing emulators. That seems to be a pretty good chunk of the top of the page. Various plugins for tools on the Steam Deck, for Steam, power tweaks, guides, and things like that. But there's also a lot of resources on here on getting various games to run on the Steam Deck. And that's why I'm linking this. Because if you're talking about the Steam Deck, it's Linux. It's Proton on top of Arch Linux. That's what the Steam Deck is running. Now, Valve has built up a lot on top of that with their own systems. But a couple of weeks ago, we did link the hacked version of SteamOS that you should be able to load on any machine with similar specs, you know, the right kind of hardware. But if you load up like a Ubuntu or an Arch Linux or whatever on a regular machine, get all the hardware working, install Proton and install Steam, a lot of these guides will work. It's not going to be exact because you're not running the exact same hardware and layout, but you've got guides on here for getting things going with Lutris, getting Battle.net working, you know, databases of what games will work. So if you're wanting to do gaming on Linux, Steam Deck resources are probably a pretty good place to start. And if you actually have a Steam Deck, then it's, you know, even better. So, anyways, of course, that's all I have for you tonight. Of course, listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Pure Decking every Thursday. The Galaxy 15 radio site and subreddit. In the IRC tonight, CyberLard, Cycros, Madman, myself, and the Soylent Bomb. Also, I was reminded that apparently Soylent Green took place in 2022. Just something to think about.
Oh, that's a movie I could watch I haven't seen in a while.
So,
didn't the New York Times have an article on cannibalism this week? Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to buy some more extra food.
So,
God damn it.
Madman, closing thoughts.
This is cool. You can get Overwatch effectively to possibly play on Linux.
Yep. So, that's, like I said, I mean, it's all Steam Deck specific, but if you're looking to switch off of Windows, especially because, I don't know about you guys, but setting up a new Windows 11 box, if you go through Microsoft's process for it, I mean, OneDrive is a right pain in the ass. They're constantly trying to get you to get an Office 365 subscription. Your start menu comes in loaded with all kinds of bullshit. It's like, I don't know, it kind of reminds me of the Windows 98 days where the, you know, machine came with all the shovelware and the better option was just to format the hard drive and do a fresh install of Windows first thing. But, of course, now it comes with the fucking Windows install. So, yeah, I really want to see the Steam Deck do well and various machines like it, because I'd like to see a lot of the general purpose computing switch off of Windows. I have no doubt that business desktops will never switch off Windows, just because Active Directory is too well embedded in the regulatory industry these days. But you know, Linux for home machines? Fuck yeah. Especially for gaming rigs. Get away from all this telemetry and OneDrive and bullshit. Are you? Closing thoughts.
Sound that no one disagree. That was the sound of no one disagreeing with you, man.
Yeah. So, closing thoughts, are you?
I eventually will switch the cable out. It is. It's still sitting on the floor behind me with my new headset.
Well, it's already improving your audio quality. It's sitting there on the cable on the floor. So.
One day this week, next week, maybe.
I finally got around to doing some stuff that I've been meaning to do. Today, of taking the Leaf back down off this desk and putting the ultra wide monitor on a riser, and I've been pretty pleased with that. So hopefully I can get some more done this weekend, but we shall see. So that's all I got. I've already read the closing block. I think it's time to play sound effects.
We're sorry. Your call cannot be completed as dialed.
I'll pass it out.
Shut up, Wesley.